It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band, and we are on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there, I am the Professor. I'm sitting in the captain's chair today.
You've regained your captain's chair.
Yep. I'm Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. Sitting in the two vice captain's chairs.
I'm sitting in the box by the door. I'm Jason Murray.
Okay. And sitting in the other vice captain's chair, because if you want to be captain of something, vice is absolutely what you should be captain of.
I'm happy to be vice, and I'm Jeff Quattromani.
Welcome to this week's show on the Gadget Grill. What are we doing today, gentlemen?
Eating chocolate.
Okay.
I have been eating chocolate.
We have all been eating chocolate. We are guilty of that. It is the
Easter period.
It is chocolate season.
If you're listening on Tuesday, I've probably also been eating chocolate.
Yes.
I will be finishing off my Easter eggs, so yes.
It is both rabbit season. Duck season and chocolate season.
And fire.
All right.
Rabbit season, duck season, fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rabbit season.
Yeah. That's okay. The Looney Tunes gags are lost on Jeff.
They are indeed. Even though he's probably...
Jeff's got this look on his face. He's like, this show's gone somewhere completely different already.
It never takes us all that long, does it?
That's okay. That's all right.
That's what happens when you have such brilliant, active minds. But we're here.
Yeah, no, yeah, where are they?
I have no idea. Jeffrey, what have you been up to?
Well, I'll start off with a short story.
Good. Once upon a time.
So, there's a guy that's been living in our area who's been stealing gates.
Ooh.
And now okay. I have gates on my property, so this is something that I was a bit concerned about.
Absolutely.
And I was told, well, maybe I should mention something. And I said,
guy who's been stealing the gates?
Well, potentially, or even just on
air. Do they know who the guy is?
My biggest risk is I just don't want the person to take offense. Thanks for having me, guys.
Wow. I think this is revenge for the Looney Tunes reference earlier.
I think so.
I've been saying that joke all week.
All week? Okay, all week. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Did you go out and, like, did you do another one of your presentations at the schools? Did you get that gag from one of the school presentations?
No, I didn't. I might use it at one of my presentations.
I think you should.
I think you should. Just... You know, being Easter season, just don't end up with egg on your face. Because that was a very bad yolk.
So,
you didn't start laughing when he said egg.
No. So, two potatoes in the oven. One of them says to the other, oh, geez, it's hot in here. The other one says, oh, why don't you take your jacket off?
Yeah, I saw that one.
We need a drum roll.
Jason,
like
what have you been up to? Moving right along.
Try and stand up to that one,
Jason. I've been working. Yeah.
I'm going
more for the sympathy than the humour tonight, yeah. I think.
Do you know work is the only four-letter word that I don't know the actual meaning of?
I don't know. But as soon as you say four-letter words, everyone's mind goes somewhere very interesting.
I know.
You're working on a Monday.
Yes. Public holiday Monday. I am working tomorrow too, yep.
And for those who are listening on Tuesday, Jason is working yesterday.
Tomorrow, yes. Yeah, he's been working all week.
Mm. Yes.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Remember to tip your waitresses.
Yes. Tip them well.
Try the veal.
Yeah. No, the duck's off. Can't have the veal. The duck's off. I've been working. Michael has returned. Oh, he's popped in for a visit from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Brought a new bass guitar in with him for me.
It's always nice to have family visit, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yeah. And picked him up at the airport on Friday. We had lunch with him and my mum today. A nice family lunch.
You had the family for lunch.
Are they
delicious?
Now Jason's warming up.
Yeah.
Oh, get it.
We generally marinate the grandchildren.
Yeah.
Stick them on the barbie. Yummy. Yeah. Nice lunch. Michael and his partner came over. We picked them up in the Tin City. And we met with my niece and my mum at... restaurant. Bye-bye, Jen. Bye-bye. please write.
We've lost a listener.
Yes. We've lost the listener.
It's okay. Carlos is still there.
Okay.
G'day, Carlos.
Hi, Carlos. Okay. We should probably get on with the show. We've wasted plenty of time already.
We will talk about technology soon, I think.
Oh, you reckon?
Nah.
No? Yes. Yeah.
All
yeah.
right, then.
Jason, I'm going to make an executive decision.
What we're going to do with technology, we've got a phone in and we've got a laptop in that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we've got, you've
couple
got a
couple of very nice devices.
Mm. Who's phoning in?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going to play some music. And this is Skyhooks and a movie about a song about me, horror movie.
Hey, we're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
We are indeed. And it is time for the news. Being a holiday week, there's been a little bit less news than what we normally have access to, hasn't there?
But certainly not less important news.
Absolutely not less important news. who's going to lead the ship off today?
The ship of state.
Okay.
The DMV in the United States of America.
There's not one DMV in the United States.
There's not one?
No, there's...
There's about 50 of them, isn't there?
There would be one per state, so yes, about 50.
Well, the 50 of them... Well, actually, no. So,
which
glad
state,
you mentioned
in
that.
Which state did this story
occur? I'm actually
occur?
Really glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
California.
Okay. California, it is called the DMV, and there is one.
Good. They have issued out some more autonomous vehicle testing permits.
Oh, yes, they have, haven't they?
Right.
So we knew that Google was on the list. We've seen them doing tests. We've seen Tesla doing tests, obviously.
I think Uber is too, aren't they?
Who's that?
Uber? They are too?
Uber
has suspended some of their testing.
Uber is no longer there.
Because they
there.
Keep running into things.
I'll be honest, I can't see Uber on the list anymore. But
fair enough.
Someone who has been added on this week is Apple.
Oh, yes. You know, there's been a bit of a move from Apple in the last few months to sort of acquire people and technology to pursue self-driving cars.
So the interesting thing here is that it doesn't mean that Apple is going to build a car and put it on the road for self-driving. It more means that they may be using technology in self-driving cars.
I've got a, suspicion about what this is actually going to be.
Let's hear it.
I reckon it's probably just to get people around their campus.
You think that they'll just build them just to drive around their own campus?
Well, yeah, I reckon so.
But if it's within their own property.
There's still
liability issues.
Yeah, a lot of tech campuses have like public roads.
Yes.
And stuff, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I can see that there would be utility in Apple being able to actually do that. They may not necessarily be running their own technology.
Just to clear up your question before, Uber is on the list. But they're listed as UATC, whatever that means.
Yeah, fair enough.
So yes, Uber does still hold a place with the DMV in California.
While we're talking about technology in cars and self-driving cars, who do you think has the most advanced technology in terms of self-driving cars today?
Ford.
Correct.
I was going to say, it's very tempting to go for Google, but I wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
Only based on what I've seen at CES.
Yep.
I mean, they have some amazing... Did you see this display last time you were there? Their self-driving display is amazing. Like they actually demonstrate how their cameras can see objects. And you can walk around and see yourself on the screen how the car's identifying a person. And it's pretty impressive.
So the technology that's coming out there is very highly advanced. Yes, Ford have got the most advanced technology. What's interesting is we see all the publicity for Google and Uber for the technology companies. But in fact, it is the traditional motor companies who are actually leading the way with the technology and the development in this.
Yeah,
I think the reason you hear so much about Google doing it is because Google's not a car company.
Absolutely.
And so it's not one of their core things that they do. And so it's interesting to see a technology company moving in that direction.
And I think that to that point, people need to almost realize as well is that it doesn't mean that Google will make a car. They may make the technology that then Ford acquires to put into their car. For example, Android Auto is in many cars today.
Yeah.
It's made by Google, but it didn't mean that Google was going to make their own entertainment systems.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're just making a feature for cars to use. And I think, why would Google want to get into the car business? They don't really want to build cars. They want to build services for cars.
They're in the software supply business. Yeah.
Yeah.
So absolutely correct, Jeff.
I'm going to stick with some Google Intelligence
news
for this one. So Over in the States this week, Burger King actually incurred Google's ire with a marketing campaign that was designed to set off Google Home and Android phones around the country by using, and I'm going to say this and see what happens in the studio or in listeners' homes, using the OK Google keyword, and my phone just beeped, to ask about their new burger.
And what happened when it did that?
So basically,
this is where chaos ensues.
Yes, basically chaos would ensue because after they said that keyword, they then asked a question, which caused Google Home devices and all these Android phones to recite a Wikipedia page about the burger.
Right.
Now, the ads put Google in an uncomfortable position because they didn't want to block legitimate searches for that information, but they also didn't want to play along with Burger King's marketing campaign. And it also caused headaches for Wikipedia because some tech-savvy bloggers figured out that they could actually edit the page for the burger.
I'm sure this is going to end well.
What Google's voice search assistant returned.
Do you have an example?
No, but
not one that he can...
Not that I could recite on the air.
No. Inappropriate changes.
So the page descended into some edit wars pretty fast. Wikipedia locked it and... It is, however, thought that a Burger King employee actually made an edit to the page before that campaign began in order to get the results they wanted first time around.
Which would make sense. Hmm. They would want to control that message.
In terms of it being an advertising campaign, the concept of what they've done is very, very clever. They've taken advantage of existing technology and leveraged that to their own benefit. Now, I don't necessarily condone doing that.
No.
But
you have to admire the ingenuity.
Exactly. Yes. You have to admire the creativity that they've employed there.
That's true.
On the creativity front,
yes.
final note, Google did, in fact, block the ad.
Of course.
They didn't block the lookup, but they blocked the ad. So the specific ad that went out to the air, it would not respond to that query.
And
Burger King responded with an updated ad in prime time with a new voice. they were ready to be blocked by Google. So, yeah.
Again, the ingenuity.
Kudos to them. But, yes. Wow, how annoying.
Absolutely. Mm. Jeffrey.
So, Nintendo killed a product this week.
They did.
And this is kind of surprising.
Did they have a funeral, burial?
Well, it was a sudden death. So
did they kill it? Okay, let's go with what the story actually was before we go for questions.
The product I'm talking about is the Nintendo Classic Mini. Mm-hmm. This is that little tiny handheld almost
You can't product. Get it.
Well,
it's not in stores anywhere.
This thing was selling off the shelves before they could take stock. It was going absolutely out of sale all the time, and people loved it. It was a small console that brought back some of your classic Nintendo games. It didn't cost a lot of money.
Did it come in a Cooper S version?
Not even.
Okay.
But it was actually a fantastic little product. Nintendo's just decided to discontinue it, saying it was always part of their plan.
Oh.
So now, if you still couldn't get hold of one, good luck. They're about to stop selling them entirely.
Can I stick with Nintendo?
Please.
No, of course not.
So, well, I'm going to.
I meant, of course, you can.
We have talked a little bit about the Switch console over the last few months. Last time we checked in on it, it turned out the console was doing pretty well after their launch. And it turns out that's actually still the case. It's going very well. Analysts are actually pointing to a chart-topping March performance in the States where they've sold 900,000 units. So they've moved nearly a million units in 1 month.
Is it total? Oh, sorry, just in a month.
In 1 month, yeah. So it's actually been a pretty good launch for Nintendo, which, let's be honest, they needed it. But there's continuing glowing reviews for Zelda, and there's not that many games actually available to it, but Mario Kart comes out in 2 weeks' time, and I may not be on the show that week because I may have locked myself at home playing my Switch. I'm really looking forward to that game.
I mean, I'll be honest, I played the Zelda game on yours, and I didn't quite get it, maybe because I didn't grow up with Zelda. But when you say Mario Kart, I'm like,
you're totally there, right?
Well, the trouble is, Andrea gets jealous of Zelda, doesn't she?
I thought Zelda was a guy. No, it is a guy, isn't it?
No, it's not. Zelda's the princess, and Link is the guy that you play as in The Legend of Zelda.
The character you play at is blonde-haired, long hair. And I said to...
And handsome?
Well, yes.
They've obviously modelled him on me.
But you don't see the front. And I said to Jason, I said...
I wish they'd stop doing that. It's really weird.
Hang on. I said to Jason, I said, this Zelda chick... And he goes, it's a guy. And I go, well, he's got long hair or something.
Because
and
you play as Link.
Yes. And you said to me that it was actually a dude. And I said, but it's a dude with long hair. And yeah. Alex, who's not here tonight, was standing right next to me going,
Alex, yeah.
He's like, I'm a dude with long hair.
I'm a dude with long hair. I have three of them, and they're 3 inches long each.
Yep.
We measured them the other day.
Hang on.
So weird. There we go. Jeff's soundboard needs work. We'll bring the soundboard. We'll bring the volume of the Jeff's soundboard
up in the coming weeks.
We can actually plug it into the control panel if you
yes,
like.
Yes, we should. I need it.
That's not all you need, mate.
Hang on.
There we go.
Oh right.
I've got one more news story. Does anyone else?
Go for it. I've got more.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, yeah. It's my last news story, in fact. It is a couple of weeks away from launch still, but Samsung is actually reporting some strong pre-order sales for the Galaxy S8 in both Australia and the US. Mm-hmm. Well, you might expect and you might not expect, but this actually does answer the question of whether or not consumers would be likely to steer clear of Samsung's phones in the wake of the Galaxy Note 7 recall. The answer appears to be a resounding no.
Oh, absolutely not.
I think it's a resounding no, but I know that I still hear about the Fire stuff. So, totally.
You
know, I walk into the office and I went to the S8 launch, so the morning after, like, oh, how was it? Did it catch fire? And I'm like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to take a while to live that down, but I think in general consumers probably don't care now. But just one little note on that. If you actually do want to get a look at the phone before the rest of the planet, except for some of us, there is actually a studio space they've set up in Westfield, Parramatta.
I heard.
Right,
So you can head out there and get a look
Pop-up store type of thing.
Spoiler alert, it's sexy to hold. It is very nice.
Just like me.
There is.
I haven't gone hands on.
Gary's making everything about him tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Samsung has, however, announced that besides its absence from the UK and the Australian S8 launches, its voice assistant Bixby will also be missing at US launch.
Absolutely.
Hang on. Wait for it.
Ready. There we go. They have aimed for the moon and possibly not quite executed properly. So Bixby
Which moon?
Well,
Bixby, you heard about the moon on Saturn?
No.
Jupiter?
Tell me about it, Gary. Tell me about it.
He's got his sound effects ready to go.
They have discovered that there is actual water on this moon
This isn't a joke.
No. Moon of Saturn.
He's right in the middle of my news story.
Yeah. And there is potential for life on this planet, on this moon.
Yes, that was announced this week. Yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Very exciting. Mm. Sorry, Jason.
Is there another gadget grill on that planet already?
Oh, there is, in fact.
Mm. Yeah, you reckon there is?
That's where they're cooking the new life forms.
Very nice. So back to Samsung with Bixby. It is, in fact, projected to arrive as an add-on to the phone in the spring, which would be the US spring, which is probably going to be...
Next week.
It's right now. Actually, maybe, yeah. Well, so the phone is launching in a couple of weeks' time, so it's not gonna be there at launch, but it's gonna be close. So,
well, let's talk about your new phone.
There is one thing I just want to add on to that. Though.
This is never any new story.
If you are actually worried about missing out on the voice assistant action, you might be, because there is a button on the phone that's meant to launch Bixby, and you can in fact configure it to run the Google Assistant instead.
As you would. Okay, now, hang on.
Are you finished, Jason?
I actually am.
Make sure that you're finished with that.
I am done. Yeah. No, we can go back to the astronomy talk.
We're about
now.
To wrap up
well,
the show.
Well, before we do, we're talking about getting your new phone, and we're talking about a new phone that was released earlier this week. We're doing a review of that, and of course, the Galaxy S8 is about to come out.
Yeah.
And what happens when a new phone comes out, especially one that's going to be...
People are whipped into a frenzy.
...as wildly popular as the S8 or the new iPhone when it
All the old phones become cheaper.
Well, let's talk about the old phones for a moment, but those...
And they get recycled.
Well,
I don't know if they do, but yeah.
Well, not those that are in people's hands. Well... Not those.
Might be. Someone might just walk around and pluck phones from people's hands and recycle them in front of them.
I was going to say, not those that are in the stores, but those that have been in people's hands for, let's say, 12 months of a 24-month plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what happens to those phones?
Nothing, because they're on a 24-month plan.
How about there seems to be a high number of those that get... damaged in some way.
Yes, they suddenly, mysteriously, accidentally, brutally get damaged while sitting on your tabletop.
They do indeed. Mm. And this is an interesting phenomenon that is starting to be noticed in various quarters. Yes.
It's kind of funny that it's taken this long for it to be noticed, though, isn't it?
I know.
Like, really. I've spoken to the IT people at work who say that a number of people mysteriously accidentally damage their iPhones the week after an iPhone is announced.
Yeah, exactly.
It used to happen where I work, same thing. Mm-hmm. But back when I was talking about it was Blackberries.
Yeah.
Like they would see the new BlackBerry roll out and they'd be like, oh.
But then that was legit because they'd see the new BlackBerry and they'd be so surprised they'd drop their BlackBerry.
No, but back then you couldn't break the things. Yeah. So if someone broke a BlackBerry, it was like,
really?
What did you do?
Yeah.
Yep. Jeff, last story, please.
Last one from me is, it looks like we will have a new mobile carrier building their own network in Australia.
TPG.
TPG.
Wow, really?
So they're going to roll out, they're aiming to cover 80% of the Australian population within 5 years.
So they're building their own infrastructure. They're putting their own towers up.
Yep.
Yes.
So what will be interesting is to cover 80%, it's mostly just capital cities.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the capital cities, you get some big population numbers pretty quickly. You know, between 2,000 and 2,500 towers over 3 years should get them that figure. The rest would be roaming onto...
Does that actually lead into the discussion this week about roaming prices? Because there's been a slight scuffle.
Vodafone.
Yes.
Yeah, so Vodafone wants to leverage the Telstra network where the Vodafone network's not available. Vodafone's argument is, well, the government paid for Telstra to expand their network so much, so why can't we use that infrastructure?
Isn't it a public resource?
Mm.
Telstra's saying, well, we were awarded that grant as a result of being so good and you were so bad.
Yeah.
So it's a interesting little debate. But the big one here is that with TPG coming in, they've been ultra competitive in the ISP market,
broadband.
So this is going to be crazy interesting to see how they perform on the mobiles.
So I think it's really interesting to see them coming in as an actual carrier instead of an MVNO as well.
Well, they already are an MVNO with, I think it's with IINet or Vodafone or somebody.
Hmm.
But you can now already get a TPG SIM card, but you're just not on their network. They're going to move, I think, 480,000 customers onto their own network as soon as possible.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Game on.
Yeah.
Right. This is Ray Brown and the Whispers, and from the 60s, Fool, it's a song about me, Fool, Fool.
Everything's about you tonight.
And we're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Well done, Jason.
Thank you, sir.
A very good impression of me.
A very good impression of you. Looks just like you, actually.
I thought so.
Indeed. Indeed. Okay, first review for today is going to be this phone that I am holding in my hand with a dual camera on the front. Single camera on the back, or is it the other way around?
I think it's the other way around.
It is the other way around, yeah.
Two on the back,
I don't care.
One on the front.
Yeah. Either way, it's got three cameras.
It's got three cameras. It is a mid-range price phone, cheap to mid-range price.
So it is the Huawei GR5.
GR5 2017.
I don't know if they actually had a 2016 model, but it's nice of them to specify.
It is indeed.
Yes.
And it is... I like it.
Hang on a second. This is a $280 phone.
It's actually a $399
$399 phone. In Australia. You're looking at American pricing.
No. Australian stores. I won't mention their names.
It may have already been discounted.
I'm seeing it reduced already then at $280.
Well, the $399 is the RRP, so you'll expect to see it discounted. So $280 for this phone.
Yeah.
And the only thing that it doesn't have, from my point of view, and it's not something that I use, is NFC.
Yeah, well, so should we talk about what it does have?
Let's talk about what it does have.
Okay.
It has a very good screen. The screen is absolutely a delight.
It is a 1080p screen.
It is a 1080p
and
screen.
And it's 5.5 inches, but it doesn't really seem like a 5.5 inch phone.
It feels very nice in the hand. It is a quite a thin phone.
Hmm.
It's what? What's that? 6 millimeters thin?
Maybe. I don't actually know.
I'll have a look at the specs in a moment.
Hmm.
But it feels very, very high quality. it feels much higher quality than the price suggests that it should. It looks nice.
It's been moving that way for a while, yeah. But it's really nice to see if some premium-esque styling come down to, you know, a really affordable price point.
Exactly, exactly. This is probably the best economy phone that I have seen ever.
So, yeah, look.
I've been using it for the last few weeks, and I don't want to give it back.
I think it's quite seriously. I think it's quite it's a nice, good yeah. contender for yeah. A budget mid-range phone if someone is actually in the market for that.
Yeah.
It's $400.
Yeah.
All your Samsungs and your iPhones when they launch their, you know, they're pushing up towards $1,500 now. They're not quite at that point yet, but they're getting
enough.
Damn close.
Yeah.
And this is a phone that has specs that are good enough. And, you know, it's no slouch on the performance front either. There's 3 gigs of RAM. It does have Huawei's custom Kirin CPU in it.
Yep.
And that's something that they've been pushing in their phones for a few years now. But Kirin's doing quite well, as opposed to sort of, you know, the Snapdragons and the MediaTeks of the world.
Well, we were discussing earlier today about how some of the newer phones are basically coming into a point of failure as they come onto the market right now. With some of the newer, particularly the premium phones as they come into the market.
Hmm.
And this is a phone that's at the lower end of the market, and it's coming into a market that's not necessarily all that crowded.
Hmm.
And it's, to my mind, it blows away everything that I've seen in that marketplace,
so
in that space.
Tell me, I've seen dual cameras on the back of phones before.
Yep.
How has that one actually been performing in that sense?
It performs very nicely. I'm very happy with the photos that this takes.
Yep.
What benefit does the dual camera give it?
The way Huawei implement it, they're using their Leica technology here, and they're implementing it so that they're taking a black and white photo in conjunction with a colour photo, and they're using that to enhance the apparent acuity of the image.
Because that's why the P10's doing really well in reviews
and
as well.
That's why the photos out of the Huawei, the Huawei phones, look so good.
Mm.
They're doing some interesting stuff with the technology, different from what the others are doing.
The UI on Huawei phones is generally quite different to...
That is going to be a downside to it. It does run an older version of MIUI.
Yeah.
And MIUI is a skin that's not been especially
friendly,
you know, loved by Android fans.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's the only phone that you have, you're not really going to care.
Well, that's what I was going
but
to
if,
ask.
If you're
Gary.
Looking for an Android phone, yeah.
So
even have you even found it even obtrusive with, or annoying?
I haven't found it obtrusive. Where it's annoying is that nothing gets put to the background. You go through all of your apps are there front and center for you to see.
Okay.
And so, for instance, with a Samsung, you can hide a lot of the apps and you only bring those that you really use onto a home screen, onto your desktop, effectively. With this, they're all there and you just have to page through until you find the one that you want.
Okay.
Of course, one way around that is to group apps into folders, if you like. So you put them all within the one super icon and you get them out of the way. No big deal.
The other way around that is, you know, install a different launcher as well, one that does actually have an app drawer.
Yeah.
And that's free.
Yeah. Well, it might be.
Can be.
Depends on the launcher that you choose.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's not to whatever I said before. There actually was a previous GR5.
Oh,
yeah. So there was a 2016. This is the 2017 GR5.
Yes,
that'll be it.
So
that also means I was wrong when I said I don't believe there was a 2016 model. There was.
So if anything,
it's very big of you to admit that you made a mistake, Jason.
So usually you point it out.
I know.
If the person out there listening thinks that's even too expensive, there is their older model going for $280 in stores. So,
So is that the one that you saw for $280?
Correct. Because I'm looking at the pictures going, it doesn't match. It turns out it's the 2016 model.
Okay, so the 2016 model is $280, and the 2017 is $400. As I say, I like it. I'm very impressed with it. And
It's got a lot of things that you don't expect on a phone in that price point.
Exactly, exactly. And it does those things very, very well.
So Huawei's really sort of snuck that one out onto the market, really. We suddenly got a press release saying, hey, this is coming out, and here it is. I believe it's actually, if you look over in the States, Huawei's been pushing their Honor brand, and it is actually one of those phones, but bringing it out here under their own name.
Okay, this is Rod Stewart. tonight's the night.
Ciao. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill. Yes, ciao. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ, 88.1 FM, and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Now, Gary, you've got a laptop in front of you to
I have a new laptop that was given to me for review purposes. This is the Toshiba. Let me just...
It's the new Portage W20.
X20.
I knew I got that wrong. X20W. The W's at the end. It's the X20W.
Yeah, and it is a 12.5-inch screen. The unit that they gave me is a Core i7, latest Core i7.
Your unit's quite kitted up, actually.
It is.
You were going through the specs earlier.
Yeah, Core i7, 16 gigabytes of RAM, and 512 gigabytes of storage.
Hmm. That's a lot of power.
That is a lot of power. It's very similar to the
machine for all that power.
Very
well.
Similar to the machine behind me over here that I use as my broadcast machine. But it is a little bit smaller. The resolution of the screen is not quite as good as what I have on that particular box. Lower resolution, but that's not a bad thing. What I find with the higher resolution screen is some of the items come up on the screen way too small, and I can't bloody read the damn thing. I don't have that problem with
the DPI of the screen.
Yeah, I don't have that problem with this Toshiba. Being a Core i7, it is bloody fast.
So it's a mobile Core i7. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's well, you described it earlier as being even sexier than I am today.
Did I say that?
Yeah, they were his words.
That sound like the kind of thing I would say.
They were his words, weren't they, Jeff?
Look, I don't know. I'm in the middle of this one. I don't know. Because sometimes he's speaking French, and I get lost at that point.
Yeah. No, it is a very attractive machine. Harman Kardon sound on it.
It is very thin. It charges off USB-C, we noticed earlier as well. I quite like the button placement. So there's no control buttons for anything on the surface of the keyboard. But the power button is this nice discreet thing tucked away at the side.
Touch screen. It comes with a pen with a stylus. And it also comes with a USB-C adapter. That gives you USB, an ordinary USB, a USB-C,
and HDMI in the box.
A little adapter in the box and an HDMI out as well.
So that'll save you some money.
I've recently moved up to one of the new MacBook Pros. Everything's USB-C, and they give you no adapters in the box.
That's right.
You can go and buy them all.
Yeah. The price of this is $2,900. And
you can get cheaper if you sacrifice some of your specs, though. If you've got the 500 gig drive and 16 gigs of RAM.
Yeah. But then again, you know, if when I'm thinking of buying a machine that I want to use, and let's say I want to use it in the studio, this is exactly the specification that I need.
Sure, but I mean, you know, if someone looks at it and goes, oh my goodness, you know, $3,000, I don't necessarily want that. If you sacrifice half the RAM and some of the storage, then it knocks it down to a much more reasonable $2,400.
Well, that's the thing.
It starts at $2,100, so.
That's better.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the average user, and could be the average listener as well, they probably aren't going to be doing the stuff that we do on laptops.
Yeah, no, I saw when I was playing with it earlier, you've got your development server loaded up there. Most people probably don't need to do that.
Yeah.
No.
But when you look at the form factor of it and its capabilities, that would be like that regardless of the actual internal specs.
So, yes.
You know, it's super thin. It's very light. You can use it like a notepad and write on the screen.
Absolutely, especially with the stylus.
Yeah. It's
probably recommended that you do that with the stylus, in fact.
Yes.
It's definitely one of the better Windows laptops that I've seen. And when you look at what Apple's been releasing, that's a really good competitor to it.
It is, absolutely.
Also, that it actually does do the full screen flip around thing as well. And so of course, you can sort of hold it like a tablet.
And you can't get a touchscreen MacBook.
Nope, no, that's right. They're called iPads.
That's right. Okay, we're going to have a bit more music.
All right,
let's do that. Yeah,
this is
heard this
Joe
one.
Cocker and Unchain My Heart. Welcome back. You're listening to the Gadget Grill here on 2RDJ FM. 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet.
Off to sleep.
Exactly. It's late at night.
No,
yeah.
it's in the afternoon.
It's early afternoon.
It's in the afternoon, so let's just talk in normal voices for everyone.
Absolutely.
Time for a mid-afternoon coffee.
Yeah.
Or we could have a useless gadget.
We could have a useless gadget.
Do we have a useless gadget?
I am going to bring up, for want of a better expression, this product that has been advertised on TV called Toilet Trouble, which looks like a flush toilet that flushes water from the toilet bowl into the face of the children that are playing it. I can't think of anything more enjoyable.
I've got another one as well.
Please do.
I have a drone that uses thermal imaging to find and clean up.
Oh, we had this 2 weeks ago.
Troublesome leftovers.
Yeah, we had this.
Did we have that one? We didn't.
Yes, we did. I mentioned that 2 weeks ago.
No.
Yes. I mentioned it 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
A drone picking up doggy doo. You might have been away that week.
Maybe I was away.
Caught in sick that week.
That must be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that
this
must
toilet
more than
trouble.
No, Jeff was away. Yeah. You were here. Jeff was in Melbourne.
I don't even remember this. Yeah.
Toilet Trouble is a game that allows you to push the flush button, and at random will spray water. It's like Russian roulette, but with a toilet.
I'm underwhelmed.
It's $20. And it's available in Australia.
And a drone will come in and pick it up at the end.
And it's recommended for kids 4 and up.
Okay, so that includes me, so I'll have to go down to the local store and buy myself one.
To avoid injury, use only clean tap water. That's a real thing.
That is definitely a warning that I would heed.
Oh, it's for 2 or more players, by the way.
Okay.
Is players like a euphemism for something?
Maybe. You have been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM, 88.1 on the FM band and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. I'm the Professor, Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
I'm Jason Murray.
We'll be back sometime in the future.
Wow, this music's really relaxing.
It isn't, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is Herb Ellis, Ray Brown, and Serge Ermol. And it is My Funny Valentine. Take care, Australia. Enjoy this.
It is actually a funny Valentine.
Bye-bye.
For me.